Blog Talk Radio.
Protesting changes to labor laws, On November 21st, the offices of the Korean Federation of Trade Unions and its affiliated were raided. Police seized computers, documents, and other equipment. Several workers were arrested at that time, and a warrant was issued for Hang Sang-yun, KCTU president. President Han left the temple where he was on a hunger strike and is now under arrest at a police station. The police denounced that he will continue the legal action against more union leaders, especially Ms. Lee Yong-joo and the general secretary, and Ms. Bai Tae-sun, executive director of the organization and collective action department of the KCTU. This followed the arrests of members and officials from the Korean Federation of Public Services and Transportation Workers Unions and the Tower Crane Branch of Korean Construction Workers Union. These brave union leaders need you to stand with them. We stand in solidarity with trade union activists. The International Labor Organization has on several occasions condemned the government of Korea for its serious violations of the right to freedom of association and to bargain collectively. Sharon Burrow, General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation, said, "The Korean government is acting in a dictatorial and abusive manner to its own people, using arrest and imprisonment to back employers who refuse to respect basic rights to union representation and collective bargaining. Korea is betraying its commitments at the ILO and OECD to uphold international labor standards. This is a very dangerous path for any country. We call on the government to recognize it is behaving in a manner that contradicts core principles of democracy and to cease its attack on fundamental liberties." And if you want to support
KCTU general strike today by joining the Labor, L-A-B-O-U-R, capital S-T-A-R-T campaign.
Just go to the AFL-CIO blog and then go into this article and you can sign up for that.
Yeah, you can do it.
That's the AFL-CIO now.
Yeah. And flight attendants.
So support those union workers.
Flight attendants protest United Airlines as the holiday travel season kicks into high gear. As holiday travel ramps up a week before Christmas, United Airlines flight attendants are marching at nearly 20 airports around the world to call attention to severe delays by management to contract negotiations. That's not right.
So they're delaying their contract negotiations because of the holidays, supposedly?
The 24,000 United Airlines flight attendants are represented by the AFA-CWA. The protest includes flight attendants from all U.S. airlines and airline pilots associations, other unions, and passengers. United continues to make record profits, and the share prices have increased 204% since flight attendants' joint contract negotiations began. When the airline struggled, flight attendants were forced to make extraordinary personal sacrifices with a compromise that shared sacrifice would equal shared reward. Well, a joint contract of United at United will directly affect 24,000 attendants at United Airlines and 25,000 flight attendants at American Airlines. So, yeah, they're working to make that happen. I don't know if it will, but
well, they certainly made sacrifices when times were lean and told they'd be rewarded in good times.
Yeah,
you know, conveniently, the corporation has forgotten that.
The article is interesting, but it says the management has tried, blah 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 blah. But you know, management performance commitment rings hollow as they refuse to do the substantive work that will make the real change necessary for United operational performance, stated AFA President Ken Dias. Pre-merger United, whatever. I guess they're merging with NIDER. United.
United.
Yeah. It gets pretty involved. I'd rather not get into all this, but anyway, just know that flight attendants are fighting us. You know, it's a good thing. You know what I mean? Don't you think?
I hope they unfortunately, unless you hold management's feet to the fire, they don't honor their promises.
A lot of them never do, no, it's true.
It's very sad. But they whine and cry when they want you to sacrifice for them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And get plenty of publicity for it.
Of course. Anyway, let's go on.
I didn't hear about this on the media. Mainstream media about flight attendants being treated poorly.
Oh, no, of course not. You're never going to hear that. Why not? You know, they're trying to sell you round trip tickets over the holidays. Let's see. This I thought was interesting. Seattle's for hire drivers win in historic vote. You know, there's so many people that are Uber drivers now.
Yeah.
Everybody just trying to do stuff. But poor drivers that have been there before them, you know, these guys are getting screwed now. Well, drivers in Seattle for hire industry won the right to collectively bargain over their wages and working conditions through a historic first in the nation's ordinance passed unanimously in the Seattle City Council on Monday. The measure, sponsored by Council Member Mike O'Brien, will now move to Mayor Ed Murray's desk for signature.
Drivers and community supporters celebrated the bill's passage, calling it a turning point toward greater protection for workers in the changing economic landscape. By giving us rights, the law will help all of the drivers and also help our communities, said Peter Kuhl, an Uber driver and member of the Leadership Council of App-Based Drivers Association. Under the proposal, drivers would have the ability to come together to choose a nonprofit organization to represent them. Once authorized, the organization could engage in collective bargaining on the driver's behalf. The new law would apply to all taxi drivers, for hire drivers, and drivers for app-based dispatch companies such as Uber and Lyft. This legislation allows drivers to have a voice and negotiate with companies, wrote Teresa Mosqueda of the Washington State Labor Council in testimony submitted to the Seattle City Council. It's smart, innovative, and it keeps pace with the changes in the app-based economy, which have left many workers without basic work right protections. This represents the next and necessary step in addressing rights for the on-demand workforce.
That's good.
Over the past several months, for-hire drivers have become increasingly vocal about the need for change in the industry. Since I started driving for Uber, Uber has cut our pay without notice, terminated drivers without giving a reason, and blocked our efforts to improve our working conditions, Kroll said. We're looking for fairness and the ability to earn a living wage. Taxi cab operators also expressed their support of the proposal. As a cab driver, making a living has become really hard, said Amar Khan, who drives a wheelchair-accessible taxi for Yellow Cab. All we are asking for is a level playing field, and that can't happen until drivers have the right to speak up. Because of their disputed status as independent contractors, for-hire drivers don't have the ability to unionize through a national election process, and they also aren't covered under Seattle's wage theft, sick leave, or new $15 minimum wage law to address these inequities. Drivers approached Teamster Local 117 for assistance in getting organized. Taxi drivers formed the Western Washington Taxi Cab Operators Association in 2012. In 2013, drivers for app-based dispatch companies formed the App-Based Drivers Association. Both organizations work closely with Local 117 to ensure that drivers are treated fairly. So I think that's great.
Yeah, I want to congratulate the drivers on winning a major victory today, said John Searcy, Secretary Treasurer of the Local 117. All workers, no matter where they work, or the nature of their work, deserve the opportunity to have a voice. And the Universal Declaration of Human Rights identifies the rights of workers to bargain collectively as a fundamental human right. Now, these workers have the right.
So that's good. That goes on.
I think it's interesting because, what people don't understand is the value of I mean, the human right for decent work,
it's the right to correct compensation and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
but the right not to be a damn slave or a damn
jerk. That's what I'm saying, compensation.
To these assholes who fire you, you know, that's what unions are for.
That's right. If you say they don't like you or somebody decides their brother needs your work and they just fire you and say thanks for
a
lot.
I don't like your politics or whatever the hell, anything they can do to get rid of you. And,
you have to have some kind of job protection.
You do. And, that's what unions are about, folks. And that's why we support them so much here on our show.
Very strong.
And have since our inception.
The Paris Climate Change Agreement is a landmark achievement. I don't know.
I don't want to agree with that. But I wanted to read the article anyway because, you got to look at the union aspect, why they would think it was so important. Well,
they're
still playing up to the whole concept. So.
The AFL-CIO applauds the UN Paris Climate Change Agreement as a landmark achievement in international cooperation that is both sensible and achievable. We support the use of nationally determined contributions and recognize the importance of the transparency mechanism, which allow appropriate responses if commitments are not met. Workers must be at the center of any successful effort to address climate change. Workers in certain sectors will be at the brunt of transitional job and income loss. For this reason, the agreement appropriately recognizes the imperatives of a just transition of the workforce and the creation of decent work and quality jobs. As a society, well, I'm not sure what any of this means. As a society, we cannot forget those who perform lifetime of difficult and dangerous work to power America's economy. We must ensure their retirement benefits are not lost
this
in bankruptcy.
Is all over the place.
Or just let me read it. Or the halls of Congress.
Yeah.
Business must do its part by investing in affected communities and creating family-supporting jobs like those that will be lost. It is unclear whether the emerging clean energy sector is able to provide those jobs on the scale needed. We also need significant investment in carbon capture and nuclear technologies. The U.S. labor movement will work to create a better future for affected communities. The international community has reached an important agreement. We call on America to make the promises real. But,
let me
say something.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
fear is that they talk about all these things, but in the end, people just lose their jobs and nobody can do anything.
Yeah, but not only that. I mean, they're trying to include nuclear energy.
Well, I'm not in support of that.
I would never support nuclear energy under any circumstances.
Me either.
I mean, the whole thing is just one big fraud, and for the unions to be so hop about it,
and they didn't really even state what the agreement is.
No, nobody really knows what it is.
I want to know what the agreement
is. It's like the TTP. I mean, after a year of negotiation, suddenly the unions came out and said, oh, we can't have that. That's terrible.
What's going to happen in this case when
Well, now you got this bullshit. I mean, I really think, I really, really, really disagree 100% with it.
I am not in support of it
it's going to kill jobs.
Until I know what it is.
Yeah, it's going to kill
I don't
jobs.
Know what it is. What is it that
Nobody
we've signed
knows.
On to?
Nobody really knows. All right? All I know is that this is going to change everything, and this is what everybody's been salivating for, to bring in that carbon tax. And,
starting with Al Gore, who wanted to make a fortune out of his personal.
He was there grinning ear to ear.
He was. He finally got what he wanted.
Yeah, he thinks he's going to be a fat little porker. So, burn the TPP. Well, middle America is smoldering for too long. Average citizens worked harder and produced more. The corporation cut pay and benefits. Offshore communities sustaining factories. And kill families supporting jobs and crush communities. That's exactly what it is. Well, the TPP is even more than that. That was NAFTA. Now the TPP even makes it worse. The GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump strokes the fire by urging Americans to blame anyone but corporations and corporate honchos like himself. 1%er Trump and his fellow GOP candidates exhort average Americans to hate and fear Muslims, Syrian refugees, Black Lives Matter activists, and undocumented migrants, immigrants. Well, this is a divisionary tactic. They intend to split workers into small subgroups so they lose strength in numbers. And it's a diversionary tactic. The ungodly wealthy like Trump, who have taken for themselves all the economic gains from increased worker productivity, finger someone other than 1%ers as the culprit for middle-class wage stagnation and provoke workers to fight among themselves. Well, divisions and diversions help the 1% capture government, securing policies that further enrich the rich, like trickle-down economics under which no benefit ever actually descend. Bailouts to Wall Street, but not Main Street, and jobs-destroying trade deals like the North American Free Trade, or NAFTA, and the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership. In a real democracy, one where government serves the 99%, the smoldering in America would be piling piles of discarded TPP texts.
Burning it was advised last week by the Labor Advisory Committee on the TPP, a group established by Congress that includes representatives of every major labor union and labor coalition in America, among them the mine, the United Steelworkers. In a 120-page report, the committee detailed exactly how the proposed TPP would injure working Americans and foster the closing and offshoring of vital American industries such as steel, aluminum, and vehicle manufacturing. TPP negotiations should start over, the Labor Advisory Committee said. They should produce a deal that puts workers first, not corporations and the 1%. Unlike labor groups, giant multinational corporations, especially those like Nike and Walmart that exploit slave wage labor overseas, love the TPP proposal. They hype it using the diversion. Look, the U.S. Coalition of Massive Corporations for the TPP says, here's a map showing how much each U.S. state exports to the 11 other Pacific Rim countries in the proposed deal. It's classic hocus pocus. What the map fails to show is how much each state imports from the 11 countries, and that's the problem. When imports exceed exports, creating a trade deficit, America loses jobs. That's exactly what happened under NAFTA. That deal cost more than 845,000 U.S. workers their jobs as their factories closed or moved south of the border, and consumers then bought goods manufactured in Mexico rather than the U.S. The same thing happened after the United States agreed in 2001 to allow China into the World Trade Organization. The resulting trade deficit eliminated or displaced 3.2 million American jobs. Every time one of these trade deals is proposed, corporations eager to replace American factory workers with long-hour, low-wage foreign laborers promise exports will rise. And often they do, but imports rise much more, and as more stuff is shipped to the U.S., American factories close, American workers lose their jobs in the American middle class shrinks. The Labor Advisory Committee urged the TPP negotiators to include strong enforceable measures in the deal to prevent this pattern from reoccurring. They didn't. In fact, under the TPP, American workers would lose protections. For example, as it is now, the U.S. government can specify that tax dollars go to create jobs in the U.S. under the Buy America and Buy American programs. When the federal government builds a new highway or helps fund a sewage treatment plant, it has the right to specify that the steel and concrete be made by American workers in the U.S. The TPP would limit that. Under the TPP, American workers into a wage race to the bottom by pitting them against foreign workers paid pennies per hour and against child and forced laborers. The TPP would, for example, allow Vietnam to do absolutely nothing for 5 years about violations of workers' rights in certain areas, while the country immediately receives the benefits of tariff cuts on products exported to the United States. This would put American workers in competition with those in Vietnam, earning an average of $150 a month. But look away. Stateless multinational corporations say, don't think about the fact that after inflation, the vast majority of American workers have flatlined or fallen since wages have flatlined or fallen since 1979. And the TPP would clearly worsen the terrible trend. Don't worry, multinational corporations say. The TPP would require nations to establish and enforce minimum wages. Don't think about the fact that the TPP fails to set any sort of standard enabling a country to institute a minimum wage of 5 cents an hour or less. The Labor Advisory Committee sought to protect American workers by asking the TPP negotiators to include strong measures to stop currency manipulation and to require high percentage of product to be manufactured within a TPP country for it to be exempt from tariffs when exported to the U.S. The negotiators did neither. That's no surprise since they were formally advised by 500 corporate lobbyists. Instead of increasing the percentage of product that must be manufactured in TPP countries, the deal would lower it when compared to the standards in previous trade pacts. Rather than penalizing currency manipulators, the TPP would do nothing more than evaluate the practice that countries like Japan and Vietnam use to artificially lower the price of their products while raising the price of American-made products. Multinational corporations that want to manufacture low-wage, low-environmental protection foreign countries say, look, there's something about currency manipulation glommed onto the bottom of the TPP. It's not the part of the main deal, doesn't include strong language, and it isn't enforceable. But look away, check out that the guy who speaks broken English standing on the street corner trying desperately to get work as a day laborer. The Labor Advisory Committee wants average Americans to look directly at this bad trade scheme and the self-dealing corporations pushing it. The measure of trade success should be improving broadly shared prosperity, increasing family supporting jobs, and raise middle-class wages. Corporate profits should rise as well, but the first priority in a democracy should be people, not corporations. The proposed TPP fails this test. Americans' anger should be directed where it is deserved, not at Muslims or Hispanics, but at politicians who would vote to approve this proposal to further lower the wages, destroy their jobs, and diminish the American economic opportunity.
And there you go, folks. That's exactly what's going on.
That's a sad thing.
Yeah, it's really sad. Yeah,
that's why we're having this cast of clowns and all the...
No, it's all the idiots, all the Republican idiots.
To distract us away from
and the Democratic
what's really
idiots
happening.
Too, let's Trump, of course, is the head of the FL-CIO.
Well,
he
didn't think they should raise the...
I thought that was an interesting article because in anticipation of Federal Reserve raising interest rates, FL-CIO President Richard Trumka made the following statement. He says, "We urge the Fed to avoid making a mistake by raising interest rates tomorrow."
Which is today.
Yeah, which is today. "And too many working people are not feeling the economic recovery because of stagnant wages. In the months to come, the Fed should focus on the policy goal that real wages should rise with productivity, and working people deserve to lead better lives by sharing the wealth we all create." You know, I think he makes sense there. Don't you?
Yeah. They only raised it like a quarter of a point.
A quarter of a percent. That was it. One quarter of a percent. That's like, you know, who the hell?
I don't know. I'm not one that really understands all of that.
Well,
I'm not sure why he's against it.
Well, why he's against raising the rate?
Mm.
Well, primarily because
He doesn't feel the economy is strong enough
to raise the rate, you know. And
but on the other hand, retired people But
yeah,
hardly,
I mean,
you
exactly,
know, it's balancing
exactly.
working people against people who've worked in a
retirement.
Yeah,
I don't know, and I mean, you can't earn a dime on your savings, and you know, it's ridiculous.
People can't even retire.
They can't retire, you know, and
which prevents younger people from getting their jobs.
Sure, they want to cut Social Security, and they want to cut all this
people
crap.
Are afraid to retire.
Really?
Basically.
You know, I gotta hand it to this guy, John Stewart. You know. You left that job there in the, you know, the Daily News and all that, and the $9 million salary. But now he was out there protesting, and I respect him for that. Early Sunday, we'll be bringing you a roundup of the important news and commentary. Now, wait a minute. I want to read this because John Stewart was arrested at the protesting the bill that stopped the funding for 911 responders.
They now have it. It's part of a bill. It passed.
They did. Great. Mm-hmm. So every Sunday, we'll be bringing you a roundup of important news and commentary about issues and events important to working families. Here's the week's working people's list. Well, no one actually sure of the sharing economy. Wait a minute. Where was... I don't know where the...
Keep going.
The article is there. Huh. Let's do that.
I don't know.
I didn't show it. I wanted to make this statement because it was such a worthy... they put a picture there, but they don't even show the article. Yeah, it was a very important protest that John Stewart was at, and that was.
I was listening to the radio on the way home, and I heard that they passed something to provide till 2090 coverage for.
Did they really? It's not on the air. I'm surprised they don't have it.
So I don't know when.
Well, that was a steal that a couple of days ago. He got arrested.
Do you have anything on your side on that?
No.
It's the most boring thing. It's the most boring thing John Stewart has ever been at, but he has a very important message you need to hear. So you can just put that on.
Yeah.
Thank you guys very much. This is insane, but as I see the scene here, it begins to make sense to me about how our government works. We have a bunch of first responders outside freezing their asses off in the middle of a field while our country's last responders... our country's worst responders are inside, nice and comfy and cozy, probably having soup, probably good soup. There is no bill more worthy and solid than the one for 9/11. First responders, permanent health care, fully funded with the Victims Compensation Fund. These guys should never have to come down here again, if for nothing else. I don't know if you all could survive another one of these political press conferences. This is the most boring thing I have ever been at.
But that passed.
Renew 9/11 health work.
That did pass, yes.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad.
Probably because of him.
May have had a very, very major, plays a very major role. I'm glad he decided to get off the news thing and become an activist.
Good for him.
On the ground activist. And I think that's really amazing for him.
Well, he made enough money. He's obviously not a greedy man.
Well, yeah.
He could stay there forever.
He was making like $25 million a year on that show.
Just being it himself.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Very few people make that jump.
I know. It was
good for him.
That he did. Walmart policies have sent 400,000 jobs to China. Wow. That's not very nice of them. 400,000 jobs. Walmart's policies have sent 400,000 jobs to China since 2001, a report conservatively estimates, through which Walmart, the world's largest retailer, serves as a key conduit of Chinese products being introduced to the American market. Excuse me. Key findings report the findings from the report show that Chinese imports entering through Walmart in 2013 likely totaled at least $49.1 billion, and the combined effect of imports from and exports to China conducted through Walmart likely accounted for 15.3% of the growth of the total U.S. goods trade deficit with China between 2001 and 2013. The Walmart-based trade deficit with China alone eliminated a displaced more than 400,000 U.S. jobs between 2001 and 2013. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The manufacturing sector and its workers have been hardest hit by the growth of Walmart imports. Walmart's increased trade deficit with China between 2001 and 2013 eliminated 314,500 manufacturing jobs, or 75.7%.
You have 75.7% of the jobs lost
from Walmart trade deficit. These job losses are particularly destructive because jobs in the U.S. In the manufacturing sector pay higher wages and provide better benefits than most other industries, including especially for workers with less than a college education.
Walmart has announced plans to create opportunities for American manufacturing by investing in American jobs. Very few actual U.S. jobs have been created by this program, and since 2001, the growing Walmart trade deficit with China has displaced more than 100 U.S. jobs for every actual or promised job created through this program. China's rapidly growing trade surpluses are largely a result of currency manipulation. China invests hundreds of billions of dollars in efforts to bid up the value of the dollar in other countries, lowering the cost of Chinese exports to the U.S. and other countries. Suppression of labor rights keeps wages down, making Chinese-made products artificially cheap. Walmart serves as a major conduit of cheap products in the United States.
So, hey, Walmart, right? Time to reflect on U.S. role in Chinese worker exploitation.
Well, how about their exploitation of us?
Well, how China and currency manipulation affect you.
Let's read that.
Right. And Trumka says, China's currency devaluation deepens unfair trade practices. America, working families need action on currency manipulation. Well, let's spend some time and talk about that, because people don't really understand that, I don't think.
How China and currency manipulation affects you. Currency manipulation is a term that describes the practice of government intervening in foreign currency markets in order to change the value of its own currency to gain an advantage. For instance, a government can go into a foreign exchange market, flood it with its currency while buying up lots of foreign currency or foreign government debt. China, the world's second largest economy, has been engaging in such behavior for years. This matters to American workers because the practice artificially holds down the value of the renminbi, also known as the yuan.
A
lower-than-market value renminbi acts like a subsidy on Chinese-made goods and services, making them cheaper, and acts like a tax on U.S.-made goods and services, making them more expensive. The cumulative effect of such moves has resulted in the loss of millions of American jobs, and it's been a key driver of the massive defection of factories from the U.S. to China. Well, why don't we do something about it?
Well, that's the guy. Trump's the only one who's talked about doing something about it.
During August, China already has devalued its currency by about 4% against the dollar, given the size and influence of the Chinese economy. Vietnam, a party to the ongoing Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiation, also chose to devalue its currency, and a number of other TPP countries from Malaysia, New Zealand, and Australia also saw their currencies lose value against the dollar in international trading. The failure of the TPP to address currency manipulation is one of its key failures and something that will most assuredly make the deal a net job and wage loser for America's working families. It's also something in the administration, which has not finished negotiating the deal, could fix if it wanted to. Want to learn more? I encourage you to join the call with Economic Policy Institute trade expert Robert E. Scott on Sunday, August 30th. Well, that's already passed,
yeah.
2015.
So anyway, that's what's going on, currency manipulation. You know, it's happening constantly, and China's the biggest culprit.
Then they have noted this government has no desire to fix it.
Yeah,
they don't care.
No, I think this is a good article, too. A time to reflect on U.S. role in Chinese worker exploitation. I mean, it's pretty bad because Apple is one of the most notorious.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Nike.
Yeah, Nike. The visit to Seattle by Chinese President
Zhao Jinping.
Zhao is XI, it's not Zhao.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Xi Jinping. Is a historical moment. Xi is known for his crackdown on corruption in the government and for opening up Chinese markets. Well, certainly the discussions with business roundtable leaders here are geared toward creating more market opportunities in the current country with the world's largest population. But Xi's visit is not only for the multinational corporations, it's also an opportunity for to reflect on the status of workers in China, our complicity, and the ways we can stand in solidarity with the working people of China.
This was written in September.
Yeah, so still relevant.
Yeah,
still relevant.
Labor laws in China require employers to follow minimum employment standards. While minimum wages are set by provinces, national law enforces work hours, overtime holidays and safety, and many other conditions of employment, including the requirement that all employers pay into a social insurance program for their employees, which includes pension, medical insurance, work-related injury insurance, unemployment compensation, and maternity leave.
Yeah, that's never going to happen in China.
No, it's a... Labor laws in China require employers to follow a minimum standards of employment.
Very
while minimum wages are set by provinces, this is what they do.
Right. But it's still very minimal.
Enforcement of labor laws is key to how workers are treated. Independent unions are not legal in China, and it's also illegal to strike. Nonetheless, workers in China are demanding their rights, with thousands striking in the apparel industry, taxi driving, teaching, and most recently, e-commerce workers. There is plenty to criticize in the treatment of workers, the lack of independent trade unions, the oppression of workers in China. What we must consider, though, in the quest for more global solidarity is the complicity of the U.S. in this oppression. It is no secret that U.S. manufacturing, apparel, shoes, technology, toys, electronics has moved to China in recent decades, as U.S. companies seek lower wages. According to Li Quang, executive director of China Labor Watch, the U.S. criticism of China generally stops short of a critique that threatens the economic interests of the U.S. So.
Well, that's kind of interesting, I thought. So, thank you, Lila.
It's a long article.
Yeah, it is, but it's interesting to see that. And, you know, it's exploitation.
Yeah.
And China's.
But it hasn't benefited the middle class American at all.
No, not at all. No.
The Chinese workers aren't making much, and the middle class Americans are suffering.
Yeah.
So there's only the 1%ers that are making anything.
Well, not really, because even in China, that middle class is growing. You know, they have over 400 million middle class in China. You know, that's
bigger than our middle class.
That's bigger than our country.
Yeah.
Our whole country is only 325 million people. Okay? less than 100 million people in this country are middle class, right? You know, maybe 150 million, less than half.
And shrinking.
Shrinking, all right? And because of this, these policies, it's pretty frightening. The rest are poor. I mean, 1 in 4 people are under the poverty line, you know? That's pretty damn sick for an industrial country, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
With industry fleeing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's, the whole thing's ridiculous.
10 reasons you should sign the petition calling for the repeal of the health care tax. A new tax on health care plans is threatening to hurt working people and their families. The 40% tax on many health care plans will lead to increased out-of-pocket costs for workers. You can go right now and add your name to a petition to members of Congress asking them to keep the Affordable Care Act affordable by supporting a repeal of the health care benefits tax. Well, let's...
Here are 10 reasons.
What? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Here are 10 reasons the health care benefits tax should be repealed. Nearly 35% of health plans are taking action to avoid the tax, often by reducing benefits or shifting costs to workers.
Some 40% of employees surveyed said the plan will affect them when it goes into effect in 2018.
Some one-third of employers who expect to be required to pay the tax say they would increase out-of-pocket costs for consumers in order to avoid the tax.
Today, the vast majority of workers face deductibles averaging more than $1,300 for single coverage. Even higher deductibles and other out-of-pocket spending requirements that will result from this tax will hurt working people and their families when they need medical care.
And the tax, five, is the tax disproportionately will hurt those who need the most care, women, the elderly, and people with chronic illnesses.
More than 75% of those polled opposed the tax when they learned it would likely cause employees to pay more out-of-pocket for health care services due to higher deductibles and co-pays.
Repeal has partisan support, with more than 160 Democrats and 120 Republicans in Congress already expressing support.
More than 31 million non-elderly adults already are underinsured, according to the 2015 Commonwealth Fund study. This tax is likely to increase the problem.
Research shows high cost sharing requirements already are keeping people with serious medical conditions from seeing the doctor and effectively managing their chronic illness.
Skipping needed care can lead to increase in the use of emergency rooms. About 70% of emergency room physicians report seeing patients who have private insurance but have delayed medical care because of high out-of-pocket expenses, co-insurance, or high deductibles.
Right. And there's
a
petition.
A
yeah, it's really bad.
So should we move on to what's on your Facebook?
Oh, my Facebook, sure. Let's go here, though, first. Okay. I don't know. They got enough problems. Making the same mistake twice. Here we go. Let's advocate union-made holiday gifts. Okay.
Go ahead.
Don't you do? Union-made holiday gifts.
There's a list right there below.
It's not too late yet to find the perfect holiday gift and carries a union label and is made in America. Below is the wide range of gifts possible, from clothes to games to sports equipment and more. And
here it is. Brooks Brothers, Joseph Abboud, Majestic Athletic, Timex Watches, Naturalizer Shoes, Nunnbush Shoes, Red Wing Shoes.
Beauty products: Avon, Caress Skincare, Chapstick, Dove Beauty Products, Revlon, and Old Spice.
Games:
all made by RWDSU/UFCW.
Barrel of Monkeys, Battleship, Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, Clue of Life, Hi Ho Cheerio, Monopoly, Mousetrap, Operation, Pictionary, Risk,
Jack Operator, Pinder, Scrabble, Sorry, Taboo, Twister, and
Yahtzee.
And sports equipment, American Athletic, Russell Brand, is made in UAW, Louisville Slugger, McGregor Golf Clubs, Standard Golf, and Top Flight Golf Balls.
Stocking stuffers, Rayovac Batteries, Bic Lighters, Ghirardelli Chocolates, Jelly Belly, Laffy Taffy, and Tootsie Roll Pops.
And wine and beer, Chateau Saint Michel, Columbia Crest, Saint Superi, Charles Krug, K. Mondavi, and Gallo of Sonoma.
Miller Beer, Miller High Life, Miller Genuine Draft, Miller Lite, Milwaukee's Best, Ice House, and Red Dog.
Anheuser-Busch, Budweiser, Budweiser American, Bud Light, Michelob, Shock Top, that's another one, Busch, Rolling Rock, and O'Doul's.
If you're in the big spender category, Jeep, Ford Mustangs, and Cadillacs.
Yeah.
So.
Seymour Cars made by UAW and non-auto UAW-made products. UAW makes non-auto products.
Dodge Grand Caravan, Chrysler Town & Country, Ford Flex, Ford Edge, Dodge Charger.
Just, and that's just a few, and we can go on further.
Lots of cars there.
Yeah.
So you can put a car under your tree.
What are the non-auto UAW-made products? I'm curious.
It says here for a full list of UAW made products. That's automobiles.
Other products. Okay.
Water heaters.
Oh wow. Okay.
Hydraulic lifts for motorcycles.
Westinghouse brand made machines, dryers, and laundry centers. Auto glass replacement glass. Auto parts, torque converters, and rebuild kits for transmissions. That's pretty cool. Oil filters,
springs, batteries,
coils, batteries,
drive shafts, mostly car parts, I guess.
Yeah. Used to making car parts.
Dump beds, plows, transfer fuel pumps, wheels, tires for electric lift trucks, wheel bearings.
Yeah, everything to do with cars and their parts.
Butter products, coffee.
Really?
Folgers Coffee Company.
Land O'Lakes, yeah.
Land O'Lakes Butter.
Kraft Foods.
Mm-hmm. Ice cream products.
Perry's
ice
cream.
Yeah. Never heard of that.
Yeah. And more. Frosty Mix for Wendy's. Yeah, man. All kinds of products, huh? Fiberglass insulation products. Pretty bizarre. Garage doors, steel entry doors. UAW makes all of these.
Roofing materials.
Yeah.
Pocket door frames, storm doors.
Residential storm doors, yeah. That's really good.
Residential windows. Cappuccino machines, coffee pots, and fryers.
Cecilware. Kitchen quip.
Hand-operated kitchen appliances. That would be
salad
like...
Salad masters, yeah.
Yeah.
A salad master. Air compressors, light duty to heavy duty commercial. Salar Beal, made by locals. Okay.
Broadcasting traffic, promotions, master control, news production, and office staff.
W-E-Y... I, NBC 25, made by local 1811. Okay. Whatever. That is pretty.
So anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
It's all part of the game. But we're happy to see that. I mean, you know, anywhere we can promote any kind of union, you know, I think it's important to promote unions. We always have. And we are sponsored by, you know, I'm very pleased to, you know, AFSCME Union has been a sponsor of our show for 10 years.
Out of New Britain, Connecticut.
Yeah, and Council 4. And we've been grateful for doing for them, very much so. And we wish want to wish Larry Dorman, he's the public affairs coordinator for AFSCME Union, and to wish him the very best. This tragedy in his family recently, and hopefully we'll have him on our show in the next in the near future.
Yeah, maybe after the holidays,
and then things
settle down a bit.
But for everybody, we want to thank everyone. It's about 5 minutes here, but we want to thank everyone who joined us. And for those of you who are thinking of maybe voting for Trump, okay? Oh, yeah, issues. Trump's got some issues.
Yeah, you've got to think about it.
Face Trump with a lot of things. But
it's a whole year away, though, but, you know, I think by that time people are going to be so worn out they're not going to want to hear from any of these people.
Oh, I think so. I have no idea who's going to be the next whatever, but we're hoping that someone will.
I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, they're blaming Trump for, thanking Trump for entering fringe news into the mainstream. You know, fringe news meaning union issues and things like that. Everything that Lila and I have done for the last 15 years. You know, that's we're now in mainstream, Lila. Maybe that explains our huge rise in website activity. Wow. You know, we're getting millions and millions and millions of visitors, and we're so happy to see that happen.
Five reasons to
Let's finish with this. The five reasons to end the Fed.
The dollar has lost nearly 100% of its value since the Fed was founded 100 years ago.
A boom and bust. For all its efforts to manage the economy, more Fed equals more instability.
Special interests. The Fed benefits big banks at our expense with special credit and bailouts.
The inflation tax. Inflation steals real value out of the pockets of the poor and the middle class, acting as a hidden tax.
The debt. Thanks to the Fed, our government is printing away our way to poverty.
Yeah.
Isn't it time for honest money?
And the Fed. And that is one of major
I
issues.
Would agree with that. So, yeah, I think we ought to have our own bank here in our state.
I think so too, man. I think so too. So we're going to end the show tonight. We're going to thank everybody who joined us and say thank you. And join us next week. And, you know.
Until then,
yeah.
Be peaceful.
Good night.